On page Kufnun Gimel of the Sefer Osef Amarim from Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter. And we go weiter in the Sugya of a Malik. The paragraph at the bottom of Kufnun Gikr, Shri Rasso Shalom Malik al Yidei Emuna. The main way to feed the negativity and the cynicism and the hatred of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Malik embodies, is through Emuna. You fight the one who hates God by deepening your connection to Hashem. The main way we defeat Amalek is through Amuna. And look how Esther would be mechazik our Amuna. Kasher anu roim be'Esther ha'malka. She'nasa itzal achashveirosh mitoch mesiras nefesh. It wasn't only Esther's personal Amuna that she literally took her life in her hands, walk into achashveirosh uninvited. That mesiras nefesh was clearly an act of Amuna. The rule of the land was that he could kill her for an entering without permission. And of course, a miracle occurred. The king extended towards her his royal scepter, his golden scepter. But here's the amazing part. Esther just took her life in her hands. She goes into Achashverosh, Mesiras Nefesh. Kadosh Baruch Hu allows her to survive that initial encounter. And then the Melech says to her, what do you want, Esther? I mean, you literally just took your life in your hands. You seem to have had Hashem's grace upon you, that Achashverosh didn't kill you on the spot. And then he says, what can I do for you? Nu, here's your chance. Make the big ask. Go for it. Lo amra shebakashasa hu hatzalas klal yisrael. She doesn't say, please save the Jewish people. She puts her life on her line, on the line, and then she says, "Oh, you know, can we have lunch together? What? And if you don't mind, you can invite Haman along also. Haman Arashta. Is she trying to get herself killed? Meaning she's there. She took the risk. She was Moser Nefesh. The Jews davened for her. She goes in, and then she doesn't even ask to save Klal Yisrael. She says, "Oh, come for lunch with Haman." Okay, so Achashverosh comes for lunch with Haman. So you'd expect now, okay, fine. She's setting it up at the meal. She's going to make the big ask. Now the meal comes. The suda comes. What do you want? Even Achashverosh senses you want something more. What do you really want? So what does she say? Biksha od suda lemacharis. Come for another meal. Esther, you're squandering these opportunities with great risk to yourself. What are you doing? V'adavar pil'i. This is a wondrous thing. Uvetam ha'davar, top of page kuf nun dalet. And the reason for this is offered by Chazal, many, many, many reasons. Why did Esther not go for it? Or why did she keep inviting them to sudos? Chazal explained in Megillat Tevav, Asara tamim matam dochsas bakashasa latzalas am Yisrael yom machar. 10 reasons why Esther kept delaying her request for the next day, for the next day, for the next day. Ve'amru b'gemara, she'echad ha'amorayim pagash b'Eliyahu Navi. Interesting gemara. The gemara says that one of the Amorayim had a run-in with Eliyahu Navi and said, nu, in Shemayim, like, what do they actually say? What was the real reason Esther delayed? V'shalu matam ha'amiti. What's the real reason that Esther kept delaying the request? Amrulo, Esther kivna letamam shakola tanaim v'chol amoram. Eliyahu said, Esther actually, what every Tana, what every Amora suggested, that was Esther's kavana, she actually had all of those kavanas in mind. She Esther kol ma'aseh haya beruach hakodesh. So she actually, anything that these tanaim and amoram in the future would suggest was her intention, it was her intention. So she had all sorts of intentions in delaying, but the basic question still remains. So says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, let's focus on one of the answers. How do you defeat Amalek? Emuna. Emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in particular. What do you mean Emuna? Obviously Emuna in Hashem. Emuna in what else? Well, we have a concept of Emuna in Tzaddikim, which is true in the Purim story. We have a concept of Amuna in oneself, also true in the Purim story. But again, we have to remember the Mochama Lahashem Ba'amalik Midur Dur. It's a battle of Amalek versus God. So therefore, we have to strengthen our emunah in Hashem. So what was Esther's intention? Listen to this. There's no question the Jews were davening and fasting and crying out to Hashem. But there's a little bit of a problem. What's the little bit of a problem? But a little bit, the Jews are not fully relying upon Hashem, because after all, they have one of their sisters in the palace. I mean, the Jewish people know they've got good connections. They have good political connections. Okay, it's true, it's a tenuous situation. It's not so clear exactly what's going to be with Esther in the palace. But a little bit, you know, they're in position if they're going to have to overturn Haman. The king's wife happens to be Jewish. So yes, they're davening and they're fasting, but a little bit, there's this faint hope in their heart that we've got a sister in the Beis HaMelech. Esther HaMalka Vaday Tasa Eza Davar L'Tovaseinu. She's certainly going to come to the rescue. She's going to save us. So a little bit, that's pogame that damages their Amun and Hashem. And therefore, Amr Esther, Ein To Elis Be'Amunazu. I don't want the Jewish people to have Amuna in me, working my connections. Tzvichem Lahamin Rak B'Hashem Yisbar. So she actually did something that looked almost as if she was sabotaging the plan so that the people would lose hope in her and rely more on Hashem. When Mishum came, Gam Kishashala Melech, when the king asked Esther, Malach Esther Malka, Hirgisha Shadayin Eina Yachola Lifa. She said, I can't make the request yet. The Jews are still counting on me, and I want them to be 100% relying on Hashem. V'emtina L'machar, so she waited another day. Let's give the Jews a little more time to get nervous. Let them stop thinking that I'm going to be their savior. Kadesha Yeidu B'nai Yisrael, She'i'ef Shalhem Lismachal Esther Malka. The Klal Yisrael should know, Esther is not the one who's going to save you. Ki'im ala bore olam. Hashem is the one to save you. V'achein kishiro B'nai Yisrael asanasa. So when B'nai Yisrael keeps seeing how Esther is either maybe she's a traitor, she keeps inviting Achashverosh and Haman to these parties, or maybe Esther is chickening out, she's too scared to make the request, she doesn't want to risk her own life to save us. When Klal Yisrael starts to lose hope in Esther and increase their hope in Hashem, that's dafka when the Yeshua comes. V'achein kishiro B'nai Yisrael asanasa v'yaldu she'i'ef sh'alismoch al Esther. So as B'nai Yisrael saw what was unfolding, and Esther is unreliable. Shemes schema im Haman v'niya habilbol. Maybe something's going on behind the scenes. Maybe she's making some type of plea bargain to save herself and to throw the Jews under the bus, so to speak. And there's all these bilbul, and maybe it's not working out. So now they felt really desperate, and they turned to Hashem. As talu b'nei Yisrael as Yahavam rak b'Hashem Yisbarach. They place Yahavam means their burden. They put all of the heaviness of their frustrations, all of their fears and anxieties, they threw it all on Hashem, based on a pasuk. Pasuk says, Hashleich al Hashem Yahavcha, throw your burden on Hashem. V'achein l'machar ezba'a lehem ha'yeshua. And then once she had the confidence that they had given up on her, then the salvation came about. U'lamachar eskeshashal l'shuv ha'melech malach Esther ha'malko ma'bakash ha'seich. And the truth is, says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, this is a very nice finishing touch to this paragraph, to this piece, to this part of the piece. He says, what actually happened when Esther made the request? Could she do it? Did she know how to ask the right way? The truth is, she messed the whole thing up. Where do we see that? When Achashverosh asks her, Esther, what do you want? Kishabiksha rachim al Yisrael, and she says, Ish tsar va'oyev. She says, there's an evil man out to get an enemy of my people who's trying to harm me and harm my people. Chazal say, Amru Chazal, Sher osa be'etzba'a al Achashverosh. When she said, this wicked one is trying to harm me, and she points to Achashverosh. Says the Gemara, Hayucholim take off Laharga. Imagine, she pointed at Achashverosh. He could have killed her on the spot. And a malach came above, malach v'dochaf es yadam, and the malach smacked her hand to point to Haman. Now there's a lot behind that Gemara. It's a good topic for a shir in itself. What happened there? Why was she pointing to Achashverosh? Malach pushed her hand towards Haman. But on the simplest level, says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, she messed it up. She was very nervous. And at the moment she's about to call out Haman, she accidentally points to Achashverosh. The Malach saved the day. Why? Says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter simply, Laharos Shachein Yefshar Lismach Al-Basar V'dam. Because people make mistakes, people mess up. You can't rely on people. Right? Don't trust people. Trust the Kodesh Baruch Hu. She Esther, his balbala. She was so nervous. She was so discombobulated. Ad sheher osal Achashverosh b'makom ha'haman. Instead of pointing at Haman, she pointed at Achashverosh. L'harosh shekol le'yeshua ba me'Hashem Yisbarach b'vad. To show that Esther's not going to be the one. Right? Even after Klal Yisrael had, so to speak, given up on Esther and relied on Hashem, Hashem still made Esther mess up her request a little bit to show that the Yeshua doesn't come from a person, even a very righteous and well-meaning person like Esther Amalka. But rather, Yeshua comes from Hashem alone. And this is the type of amuna that can defeat an Amalek. An absolute amuna in Hashem. Amalek, the battle against Amalek is always absolutes. Haman wants everyone to bow down to him. Haman wants every Jew to be killed. Everything's like 100%. There's no 50% when you're dealing with Amalek. So that means the way to respond has to be Amuna. And it has to be Amuna Shlema. It has to be Anima Amin be Amuna Shlema. That's a strong statement to say. You know, you open up your Siddur sometimes. There's a list of the Rambam's 13 principles of faith. Some people will say them. Anima Amin be Amuna Shlema. Really? It's a bold statement. I believe with complete faith. Do we know what that is? Complete faith. But again, in the battle against the Amalek, where they're trying to completely subdue Klal Yisrael and completely destroy the Jewish people, and Haman wants every 100%, everyone should bow down to me, the only way to defeat them is with complete emunah. Okay, three lines from the bottom, Kuf Nun Daven. Mechias Amalek al Yedei Mitzvas Hayom. So now let's see how Purim is going to now take us into the battlefield against the Amalek. V'hinei k'siv milchama l'Hashem ba'amalek midor dor. The battle against the Amalek is midor dor in each and every generation. V'amru chazal midoro shel Moshe adoro shel Shmuel. Midoro shel Shmuel adoro shel Mordechai v'Esther. Midoro shel Mordechai v'Esther adoro shel Melech HaMashiach. Top of page Kuf Nun Hei. Says the Medrash, midor dor. From Moshe to Shmuel, from Shmuel to Mordechai and Esther, from Mordechai and Esther to Mashiach. In every generation, the battle against the Amalek is going on and on and on. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu fought the nation of Amalek. And then Shmuel fought against Agag, the king of Amalek. And then Mordechai and Esther fought against Haman. And then the battle, as we come to Mashiach, we have to uproot whatever evil remains in the world, which again is the embodiment of Amalek. Explains the Koznitzer Magid. Mavaher harav hakadosh mikoznitz. Explain the Koznitzer Magid. What does it mean from Moshe to Shmuel, from Shmuel to Mordechai and Esther, from Mordechai and Esther to Mashiach? Shemidoro shel Moshe, klomar. Al yedei shekimu b'nei Yisrael mitzas b'chiyas Amalek b'doro shel Moshe. Since they responded to Amalek the way Hashem told them to, and they fought, and they eradicated the Amalek to the best of their ability in the generation of Moshe, that merit of fighting Amalek, Zachu l'achnas Amalek b'dor shel Shmuel. It was in the merit of what happened in the times of Moshe that gave strength in the times of Shmuel. Uvakoach kol ha'mitzvah shel zechiras ma'isa Amalek, shekimu midor shel Shmuel, ador shel Mordechai v'Esther. And in the merit of remembering what Amalek did, as the Torah says, don't forget, remember Parsha Zachar, all the Parsha Zachars from Shmuel until Mordechai and Esther gave them the strength to fight against Haman. Zachu l'achnas Amalek mei Mordechai v'Esther. And what happened then? Mordechai and Esther got the next level of, you know, weaponry against the Amalek, and that is a holiday called Purim. And therefore, v'oz zachu la'ara ha'atzuma shokimu v'kiblu, shekiblu as a Torah ba'ava. The Jewish people reaccepted the Torah out of love on Purim. V'osifu lanu mitzvos hayom shel Purim. And the Yom Tov of Purim was created. And it's in the merit of Purim that we're able to what? To continue to fight Amalek until Mashiach comes. So there's different ways to fight Amalek. Moshe actually fought Amalek. Right? Shmuel also fought Amalek, but focused on Moshe's command through the Torah of remember what Amalek did. And that gave Mordechai and Esther the strength to fight against Ahaman. And then that created a Purim. And through Purim, Asher B'kochi Yishav Mechias Amalek B'chal U'V'prat V'tikun Kol HaOlamos. And that's going to bring us to Mashiach. So in each generation, we have different zuchuyos in Mechemes Amalek that help to move us closer and closer towards that final obliteration of Amalek. Harei B'zeh, so what do you see? What the Koznitzer Magid is saying is that the thing that allows us to defeat Amalek from the times of Mordechai and Esther, midor ador, from Mordechai and Esther until Mashiach, the weapon to get ourselves ready for Mashiach and to remove Amalek once and for all is the Yom Tov of Purim. And therefore he's going to very, very briefly, no major chidushim here, but he's going to very briefly review for us the Yom Tov of Purim and help us understand how some of the mitzvos hayom help us to defeat Amalek. Hare b'zeh sheyom ha-purim hu yom karav ba-amalek. So Purim is actually a day of battling Amalek. We think Purim is a day where we commemorate the defeat of Amalek. No, Purim is actually a day where we're still fighting Amalek. We're trying to win that final battle to bring the geula. So how do we fight on Purim? He says, Baram ha-melchama ha-zoz hi mitoch simcha. It's not a fight on a battlefield, right? It's not soldiers fighting with fear for their lives, but rather we fight Amalek with the simcha, that the simcha that a Jew feels on Purim is the weapon against Amalek. Klei ha-neshek hu simchas Purim u-mitzvas hayom. The weapons that we use against Amalek is simcha and the mitzvahs of Purim itself. Kriyas ha-megillah, amiras al ha-nisim, mishloach manos ish l're'eyo. Each one of these contains a message, which is literally dropping bombs on the head of Amalek. Umatanos lev yonim, mitzvahs ha-suda, rikudei hayom, the dancing, the suda, the mishloach manos, matanos lev yonim. Each one of these things is uprooting Amalek, each in its own way. Mitzvahs l'besumei b'paraya, the mitzvah of drinking on Purim. Zeu klei ha-karav melchemes Amalek. These are the tools of the battle. These are the weapons of the battlefield in the fight against Amalek. So let's try to understand how. Kriyas ha-megillah po'el hiskalus ha-emunah. We said you defeat Amalek with emunah. What happens when we read the Megillah? V'kach romzim kol avodos hayom la'avodos gedolos sheva mikdash. Everything that we do on Purim is mamish, very, very lofty and holy avoda. Shebe inyan kriyas ha-megillah mavara beinu zav. Rabbi Nachman explained in his teachings, she Megillah inyana hisgalus. What is Megillah? Megillah is hisgalus. When we read the Megillah, we experience a hisgalus, a revelation, an uncovering. Right? In a world that looks like Hashem is not here, the Megillah's purpose is to be Megaleh, to remind us that Hashem is here. How many times does Hashem's name appear in the Megillah? Zero. And yet, it's very clear that HaKadosh Baruch was there every step of the way. And that's exactly what the Megillah is trying to train us in. How do I see Hashem when I don't see Hashem? When I read the Megillah and I don't find God's name once, not Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, not Elokim, not Shakai, none of the names of Hashem, openly. Many, many ramazim, many hints to it. But when I'm living in a time where I don't see Hashem openly and God doesn't talk to us, we don't have prophets, so how do I train myself to see Hashem? That's what Megillas Esther is about. Shemegillah inyano hisgalus, to reveal. Ubir ha-pasuk, as the pasuk says, and Rabbi Nachman explains, Uvachol yom vayom Mordechai mishalech. Mordechai would walk past the place where Esther was staying. Ledas es shalom Esther. The tzaddik Mordechai wants to know, what's with Esther? What's with Esther? What's with the Aleph Seser? Ma'iya em ha'astara. See, the tzaddik worries about the fact that Hashem is so hidden. Most of us are more worried about our summer internship, or who we're going to marry, or how I'm going to make a living. Yeah. Or what I'm having for lunch today, or, you know, making sure I pay my rent on time. Right? But the tzaddik, he spends every day walking around saying, Mashalom Esther, what's with Esther? What's with the Hester Panim? Hashem, how long are you going to keep hiding for us? When are you going to reveal yourself to the world? We want to see you already. Umayasiba, what's the plan here? Eich efshe lafoch hastar lezegalus. The tzaddik is trying to point out along the way, oh, Hashem, I found you, you're hiding over here. Right? To be megala the hastara, v'zeu avodas ha-tzadik, and that's what Mordechai ha-tzadik did. Laharus she'ein hastara, to point out that a megillah that has God's name zero times is filled with the name of Hashem. To point out a world that looks like it's devoid of godliness is filled with the presence of Hashem. She'betoch hastara yesh hashkacha, that you should realize that the little things that happen in your life is all b'hashkacha. It's all b'hashkacha. I went Motzei Shabbos, a Rebbe who I used to work with at Heichal HaTor in Tinek. Mamash Agon, right? Pesach Skolnik, Shlita. So Skolnik, you know about his latest Dirshah test? No. He's crazy. He's unbelievable. Rabbi Skolnick is mamisha, a big gun. Rabbi Skolnick takes these Dirshu tests. Dirshu is this organization that gives, you know, tests on halacha and gemara. You could take a 30 daf test. For most of us, that sounds like, whoa, that's like a lot, you know, 30 pages of gemara. You test on 30 pages of gemara. Right? You could take a 60 daf test. You could take a 120 daf test. Yeah. Maybe 2 years ago, Rabbi Skolnick took the test on all of Shas, Gemara Rashi. 2,711 pages. This Motzi Shabbos, he made a siyum because the other week he took the test on Gemara Rashi Tosfos, all of Shas. Gemara Rashi Tosfos, all of Shas. Can we just process that for half a second? It's so crazy. He didn't get his score yet. He spent 8 months studying for it, he said. Made a siyum, went to his house, Motzi Shabbos in Pesach. Gemara Rashi Tosfos. Can you imagine? Every Tosfos in Yevamos, every Tosfos in Zvachim, every Tosfos in Shas. It's crazy. That's mamish crazy. But he was telling a story. Why am I mentioning this? Because he was telling a story that when he went to take the Gemara Rashi test, so he was taking it, and needless to say, not so many people were showing up for that test. Can imagine, like, it wasn't a packed room of people. So he shows up at the testing center. It was over the summer. So he was taking it in South Fallsburg. And whoever was supposed to administer the test didn't show up, didn't know, I didn't want to take the test. I don't know, he showed up. He said he was sitting there hoping that someone would show up to give him the test. He tried to call the Dirshu hotline, no answer. He said, I'm here, I want to take the test. You know, there's the Shas test, there's no one here to administer the test. Proctor didn't show up. Okay, whatever it is. He says, a guy walks in. He said, this beautiful, you know, young chassid with a beautiful hadras upon him. And he says, what are you doing? He says, I'm waiting to take the test. He says, oh, I also want to take the test. So he's like, oh, great. He's like, well, the proctor didn't show up. So he says, oh, well, I know, you know, I'll call my brother-in-law. I'll text my brother-in-law who's taking the test in Borough Park. And then he can, like, tell his proctor. Maybe they can, you know, they can figure something out. Anyway, so he texts his brother in Borough Park. And he tells the proctor. And he says, oh, I know a secretary for Dirshu. Basically, like, this whole crazy chain of phone calls till eventually somehow, like, through, again, a whole, you know, wild and crazy Megillah's Esther, eventually somehow this test ended up showing up for him to take. So, okay. So he takes the test. He said a little while later, he saw this, he ran into this chassid, and he says, you know, I have to tell you, like, it was really unbelievable. Ashkocha, I was sitting there, I had nothing, I didn't know what to do. I didn't have any access to get the test. You showed up, you texted your brother-in-law, who was taking the test in Borough Park, you talked to the proctor, who happened to have a connection, they faxed it over, they couldn't print it out. It's a whole long story. And like, thanks to you showing up, like, it was unbelievable. Ashkocha, I was able to take the test. So the chassid says, you don't even know the half of it. You don't even know half the story. Rabbi Skolnick says, he calls this guy Eliyahu HaNavi. He's like, you don't even know half the story. He's like, I have no shaykhus to taking that test. He's like, I was sitting at home, and all of a sudden I was thinking, like, I'm so curious. I just want to see, like, what the Shas test looks like. So this chassid showed up. He's like, I don't know shaykhus to take the test on all of Shas. So he showed up, right, just to, like, see. I wanted to, like, look at the see, just, like, to get a glimpse of what, you know, what it must look like. And because of that, he had all these connections, and Rabbi Skolnick was able to take the test and pass the test, and, no? So there's always hashkacha going on around us. Like, why did this chassid all of a sudden decide, like, you know, he just said, like, I had this pull, like, I just wanted to, like, go see the test. He showed up, so Rabbi Skolnick could have, you know, in this crazy roundabout way, bizocha to take this test. So a person who's looking for the hashkacha in their life, a person who's trying to find how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is moving pieces around, whether you realize it or not. Yeah? Achashverosh sets up his capital city in Shushan Abira. Explains the Vilna Gaon. Why is Achashverosh in Shushan Abira? Achashverosh should have been somewhere else. How did he end up in Shushan? The answer is, Ish Yehudi hayo b'Shushan Abira u'shmo Mordechai. Achashverosh ended up moving his palace from Elam to Shushan. Why? Because the tzaddik was in Shushan. And Hashem moves pieces around for the tzaddik. Hashem moved Achashverosh's whole kingdom to make it easier for Mordechai to be able to do what he needed to do, says the Vilna Gaon in this parish of Megillas Esther. But again, v'ameich kulam tzaddikim, every one of us has a shaychus to that world of tzaddik. And the tzaddikim help us to recognize that tzaddik within ourselves and to recognize that what's going to be with Esther? Lidas es shalom Esther. What's with Esther? Try to make sense of the hastar of your life. That's Megillas Esther, to megala that which is hidden. To recognize that in the darkest moments, Hashem is there. Pay attention. The whole point of the Megillah is exactly that. That everything in this world is filled with Hashkacha Pratis. It's hard to see it if you don't open your eyes. What does the Malik try to do? What does the Pasuk say at the end of B'Shalach? Kiyad al Keiska. Malik takes their hand and they obscure, they block out the throne of Hashem. They block out Hashem's presence. Hashem is there. Hashem is right there. But a malik puts their hand to block it out. Yadayim yaday Esav. Right? The irony of it is, and this is again one of the, you know, there's endless amounts of vina hafacho when you study the sugi of Purim and a malik, and everything's vina hafacho. Right? So everything that they try to do, the opposite happens. So just think about it for a second. A malik, what does the pasuk say? Ki yad al keiska. A malik takes their yad, so to speak. They place their hand on the keiska. What is keiska? Case, chaf samach, right? That's kisei minus the aleph. They block out the aleph of Hashem, meaning they're obscuring Hashem's kisei. And ka, ya, yod and hey. They're blocking out the vav and hey of Hashem's name. That's the pasuk at the end of B'Shalach. That a malik blocks out, right, the aleph and the vav and the hey. They block out the aleph of Hashem's throne, and they block out the vav and hey of Hashem's name. So a malik is using their hand, so to speak, to block out. Yeah? Yadayim yaday Esav. A malik comes from Esav. What do they do with their hands? We think of Esav as the warrior who's always fighting and killing and hunting, but they also use their hand to block things out so you can't see. Yeah? No? How would you use your hand to stop someone from seeing? How do you use your hand to stop someone from seeing? You cover their eyes. Right? Take your yad, and you cover your eyes. Now, if you remember, we learned once in the past that your neshama is very mekusher to your eyes. Can I remember this? There's a sefer called Ur Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak of Radvil. And he writes in Parshas Vayeshev, he says, I'll bring you a proof that your neshama is connected to your eyes. Which is why when a person passes away, we close their eyelids. Right? The neshama exits and enters through the eyes, so to speak, on a certain level. That's why Shmiras Einayim is such a big inyan. Right? Because my eyes are the windows to my soul. So he says, I'll bring you a proof that what? That your eyes are the place of your neshama. He says, there's only one part of the body that's not makabel any gashmius. What does that mean? It means if you go outside now and you take a little dirt out of that, you know, out of that bush over there, right? And you take the dirt and you put it on your arm. It doesn't bother you that much. And if you're a very clean person, you may not like it, but it doesn't pain you in any way. Right? You take that earth, you take that dirt, you put it on your neck, you put it on your head, you put it on your nose, right? You even can put it in your nose. It's not super comfortable. You put it in your mouth. It doesn't taste great, but right? What happens when that speck of dirt gets in your eye? That's the worst, right? When you have something in your eye and it makes you crazy and you just like, you can't, it's giving you a headache, you can't get this thing out of your eye and it's like bothering you all day and you can't function, you can't do anything. Why is the eye so sensitive to any bit of gashmius? A speck of dust can really irritate the eye. And the answer is because the eye is something that's very neshamadik. It's very ruchni. And therefore it rejects, it feels very disturbed by its interaction with anything gashmi. So think about this. A malik is trying to block us out from seeing Hashem. So they're blocking out, yes, they're blocking out Hashem's throne, and they're blocking out Hashem's name, and they're doing all sorts of blocking. The best way to block someone from seeing something, if you want to be able to see Hashem in the world, right? If you start to recognize Hashem, and a malik doesn't want you to see, so a malik covers your eyes. Here's the irony. What's the irony? What's the vina hafachu? What's that? Right? We take the yad, which is a malik. We cover our eyes. You want to block out our... Right? And in that moment, what do I cry out? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. In other words, we're saying to a malik, you think you're going to stop me from believing in Hashem. I'm going to take the yad, which is the yad of Esav. I'm going to put it over my eyes. I'm going to block out all the ruchnius in the world, which is, again, is embodied by the eyes. And dafka from that place, I'm going to what? I'm going to defeat Amalek with Emunah. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's a vina hafacha. That's taking the koach of Amalek and using it against them. So yes, our world is filled with Hashkacha Pratis, Megillas Esther, be Megala the Esther. Find the Aleph Seser, Aleph, find Hashem who's hiding. Says of Yaakov Meir Shechter, four lines from the bottom. Rabbeinu Zal Kose B'Torah Nunvav. Rabbi Nachman writes in Lekutei Moran Nunvav. Al Yedei HaTorah Tzoakim LaHashem Yisbach. One of the ways that we cry out to Hashem is through Torah. HaMegillah Hu Torah. The Megillah is Torah. In fact, the Chassam Sofer says an astounding thing. The Chassam Sofer writes in his Drashos that the Or, that the light and the Kedusha of the Megillah is greater than the Torah itself. Now that's a gutsy thing to say. Luckily I didn't say it, Chassam Sofer said it. Chassam Sofer said that the Megillah on a certain level is higher than the Torah itself. You say, what? The Megillah doesn't even have God's name in it. How could that be? The tiny little scroll of the Megillah with its 10 chapters is higher than the... There's a certain Or, a certain revelation in the Megillah that goes beyond Torah. Yes, because the Megillah is connected to Torah's Mashiach. By defeating Amalek, we bring the Geula. So yes, in a certain sense, the Megillah is the ultimate Torah. Uvishas kriyas ha-Megillah zawakim el Hashem Yisbach. You can call out to Hashem through Torah. You can call out to Hashem through Tefillah. We think more of calling out to Hashem as Tefillah. But Torah is also a way that we cry out to Hashem. And therefore the Megillah is a Torah, which is a cry to Hashem. He says Megillah is Rashi Tevos, Lahavir Gilulim Min Haaretz. More often than not, Megillah is spelled actually without that Yud. So it's not missing the Yud. That's actually correct. Mem Gimel Lamed Hei. Lahavir Gilulim Min Haaretz. To remove the idolatry. To remove the falsehood, the sheker, the lie that is Amalek from the world. Ha Megillah Megales Astara. The Megillah reveals what's true all along. It's always there. The Megillah reminds you that you're a Jew. Ish Yehudi. The whole story of Megillah is about what? We're called Yehudim. We're called Jews. It's a very Jewish way to refer to us. We're not called Klal Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael. We're called Yehudim. Right? We're called Jews. The Megillah reminds a person what it means to be a Yid. Uve'eis kriyas ha-Megillah, top of the next page. Harei, kufnun vav, zetfila v'tzaka la-Hashem Yisbach. The Megillah is what? The Megillah is a tefillah, is a cry, is a scream out to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. El Shazel b'derech sipur v'simcha. Interesting. There's a type of cry of a person who's sad and desperate. There's the scream, there's the cry of the battlefield, so to speak. And then there's a cry, there's a tefillah, and a Torah that comes about b'derech sipur v'simcha. Let's explain what that means. Through a story, because that's what the Megillah is, it's a interesting and exciting tale. It's a story. And it's a very joyous story, although it's a bit of a roller coaster ride, but it's a day that's celebrated with simcha. We usually think of crying as what? Crying is more of tefillah. Crying usually it evokes a feeling of sadness or anxiety. But here we're just telling a story, a very happy story, and in doing so, right, it's a cry to Hashem. What does that mean? Avalhu tzaka, it's a cry, it's a scream to Hashem. Ki al yedei ha-Megillah tzoakim kulanu la-Hashem Yisparach keneged Amalek ha-Klali u-keneged Amalek ha-Prati ha-Mavakish la-Hashmir u-la-Harog u-la-Abed es kol ha-Yehudim. Let's say a Vart. What did the Amalek want to do? They wanted to destroy kol ha-Yehudim. Right? So you could say it a few different ways. You could say they wanted to destroy every Jew, Pashut Pshat. Amalek wanted to obliterate the Jewish people from the world. Right? Or you could say that Amalek wanted to remove kol ha-Yehudim, all of our Jewishness, like we learned at the beginning of this piece, that Amalek is the greatest threat to our essential Jewishness. They're trying to be pogim in our essence. Zachor es asher asa licha Amalek. Look what Amalek did to the licha, the essence of who you are. But the word kol also means something else. What does it mean that Amalek tried to target kol ha-Yehudim? When we say l'shem yichud before performing a mitzvah, right? Some people say a little tefillah before performing a mitzvah, l'shem yichud, kuchabrichu, shchintay, yeah? Or you do a mitzvah, at the end of the l'shem yichud, it says, we're performing this mitzvah b'shem kol Yisrael. I'm doing this mitzvah b'shem kol Yisrael, on behalf of the Jewish people. B'shem kol Yisrael. So what are you saying when you say that? I'm saying that as I put on my tefillah and I'm thinking about a Jew who doesn't even know he's Jewish, or a Jew who knows he's Jewish and doesn't wear tefillin, or a Jew who
What?
B'shem Kol Yisrael. On behalf of all of the Jewish people, B'shem Kol Yisrael. What does that mean? Kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelek liolam haba. Kol Yisrael, again, the word Kol Yisrael. Kol Yisrael, every Jew has a portion in the world to go. What is this Kol Yisrael? What is this idea? So if you look in the Noam Elimelech in Parshas Devarim, he talks about a world, a spiritual realm called Kol Yisrael. What is this realm called Kol Yisrael? Kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelek liolam haba. So ask a question. Everyone's worthy of a portion of olam haba, but wait, there's certain averos that cause you to lose your olam haba. So what do you mean, Kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelek liolam haba? So the answer is, there's a level of the Jewish soul that is indestructible, that can never be tainted. There's an element of Elokai Neshama Shenasata B'Tahori. There's a part of me that, when I drag the rest of myself through the mud, this part of me doesn't ever go in the mud. This part of me can never be destroyed by Haman, no matter what his plan is. That's called Kol Yisrael. That part's called Kol. Kol Yisrael represents that part of a Jew, the deepest part of the soul, that can never be destroyed. So therefore, Haman was what was Bikish, Lahashmid, Laharug, Laabidus, Kol HaYehudim. What was Haman targeting? What does a Malik target? They target the deepest part of a Jew. They target the deepest, deepest part of a Jew. What do we call that part of the soul? What's it called? It's called Yechida. The deepest part of the soul is called Yechida. Anyone know what the Shir Shal Yom for Purim is? What Perek in... We have a special Shir Shal Yom, a special Perek of Tehillim that we add to the davening on Purim morning. Anyone know which one? Chaf Beis. Lam Natzeach Al Ayales HaShachar, which is a reference to Esther, the Gemara says. And what do we say in this tefillah? Listen to this. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to please save the deepest part of our soul, because it's under attack. It's under attack. What do we say? We say... What do we say? No, where are you? Where are you, Haman? See, even Haman's hiding. What's going on here? Hatzila micherev nafshi miad kelev yichidasi. Hatzila micherev nafshi miad kelev yichidasi. Tilim chaf beis. No, who's a kelev? Who's compared to a dog? Which of our enemies is compared to a dog? A malik. Right? In the Medrash, a malik is compared to a dog. Yeah? So Esther, so to speak, who daven this parak of Tehillim, Esther says, save me Yad. Yad, that's Yadayim Yedeisav. That's Yad al-Keska. That's a malik's weapon. They use their hand. Save from the hand of the Kelev. That's a malik. And what should be saved? Yichidasi. Save Yichidasi. Right. What is Yechidasi? Again, the deepest level of soul is called Yechida. The fifth dimension of soul is called Yechida. Kol Yisrael. Haman wanted to destroy Kol HaYehudim. Hatzila Mecherev Nafshi is Rashi Tevos. Hatzila Mecherev Nafshi is Rashi Tevos. Haman. Hatzila Mecherev Nafshi, Haman. Miyad Kelev Yechidasi. Right. Yad is a malik. Kelev is a malik. Yechida is the part of the soul that they're trying to uproot, the deepest dimension of the Jew. So the whole fight against the malik is to be able to, again, to protect our essential Jewishness. That absolute reality that Hashem is always with us, period. That's not a changing reality. Just like the essence of who I am as a Jew is not changing, the fact that Hashem is with me is not changing. There's a perception that he's more present, he's less present, I hear his voice more clearly, he's talking to us and making open miracles in Mitzrayim, he's splitting seas, he's giving us the Torah, or he's finding other ways to communicate with us, right? And we review that interaction with Hashem through a sipur and through a simcha. Says the Yerushalmi in the next paragraph, Amru Sherav, Rabbi Yehoshua, son of Bar Kappara, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Amru, amazing Yerushalmi. In the first parak of Megillah, HaMegillah HaZois Nemra LeMoshe MiSinai. You think the Megillah is a historical account written down by Mordechai and Esther? Wrong. Just like the Torah preceded the world, so too the Megillah preceded Purim. HaMegillah HaZois, this Megillah, was Nemra LeMoshe MiSinai. Moshe knew the Megillah. Moshe Rabbeinu already knew the Megillah. Elishain Mukhar Batar. Or she knew the Megillah, and there's no chronology on a certain level to Torah. Haridash Hashem Yisbarach Ha'aleihu L'Moshe Rabbeinu L'malam, and Azmanu Masel Las Megillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Moshe Rabbeinu beyond time, he showed him everything that is going to be in sure, and he gave over to him the Megillah, Mevayihi B'mei Achashverosh Ad L'char, he gave him the whole Megillah from beginning to end, from the Vayihi B'mei Achashverosh that begins the Megillah, to the words L'chol Zar'o that concludes the Megillah. V'kvar Amar Marina of Nassan Zal, Rabbi Nassan of Breslov said, Shamagillah hi sipure maisios mishonim kadmonios. When you read the Megillah, you should feel that you're reading something that goes way farther back and way farther into the future than, again, the historical context in which it took place. V'ramuz bo dvarim niflam. The Megillah is a very ancient text. The Megillah is a very futuristic text. That's why the Rambam writes such a strange thing. The Rambam says that when Mashiach comes, all the Sifrei Nevi'im and Ksuvim are going to be batel. The only things we're taking with us to Mashiach is the Torah itself, the five books of the Torah, and only one book of Tanakh, and that's Megillah Esther. It's a Rambam. It's a Rambam based on a Medrash. It's a strange Rambam. All the other Svarim of Nach are batel. They don't have the same place when Mashiach comes. The Megillah is forever. It's like Torah's Moshe, the Rambam says. Amazing. Vayidei Kriyas HaMegillah, Harei Hu Kamosha Omer Rabbeinu. It's like an experience like Rabbi Nachman explains. Sometimes we dive into Hashem by using our mouth to pray. And sometimes we pray to Hashem by telling a story. And the story is about us. And the story is a tefillah. We're in the same situation. Hashem, help us. Shatzadikim resaprim sipur. You see, when we read the story of everything the Jews were going through and how they needed a tzaddik to come and to help them to overcome that great threat that was Haman, right? We're reliving it. It's a tefillah to Hashem. We're also in a time where we have bigger Hester upon him than Mordechai and Esther. We've seen God less in our life openly than Mordechai and Esther, right? They at least had Ruach HaKodesh. We don't have Ruach HaKodesh. So we're davening through the Megillah, Besimcha, through a sipur that's being told Besimcha, that Kriyas HaMegillah is this story. Am Kadosh B'nei Yisrael Oindim Mispalim Tfila Gadol Hashem Yisbarach B'chlal U'V'prat. We're davening to Hashem, generally and individually, through the Megillah. Shehashem Yisbarach Yigal Es Hastara. We're crying out through the Megillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we believe in you. Kaveh El Hashem, Chazach V'yam Yisibecha, V'kaveh El Hashem. Kaveh El Hashem, we're putting our hope in you, Hashem. We're not relying on Esther like we started the piece today. Rather, we're Kaveh El Hashem. We're calling out to you, Hashem. And if it doesn't work, we do it again. Interesting, we read the Megillah at night, we read the Megillah again during the day. The Gemara makes a point of that. The Mesech is Megillah Daf Dalet. That we read the Megillah at night, and we do it again by day. It quotes the Pasuk again over here, Tehillim Chav Beis, the parak of Tehillim for Purim. Elokai, my God, Ekra Yomam Velosa Anev, Velayla Velodum Yali. Yom Velayla, we call out to Hashem by day, we call out to Hashem by night. How do we do that? Through Kriyas HaMegillah. However, what does the Pasuk say? Kaveh El Hashem. Put your hope in Hashem. And what happens if it doesn't work? Let's say, Hashem, I called to you and I didn't hear you respond. Chazak v'yametz libecha, strengthen yourself and do what? Kaveh El Hashem, call out to Hashem again. Call out to Hashem, put your hope, kaveh. Kaveh. Kaveh, put your hope in Hashem. Kaveh, is that a Purim Dika word? Kaveh? Where? How is kaveh a Purim Dika word? What do we say after the Megillah? No? Sing a Purim song. I don't know any Purim songs. Yeah, v'sikva sam b'chol dor v'dor. V'tikva tam, their hope is in every generation, dor v'dor. Every generation we fight Amalek. But we're kaveh el Hashem. What's the gematria of kaveh el Hashem? 168. And what happens if you're kaveh el Hashem and it doesn't work? But you're chazek v'yamitz libechah, v'kaveh el Hashem. What happens if you're kaveh el Hashem two times? Kaveh el Hashem plus kaveh el Hashem is gematria Purim. When a Jew hopes in Hashem, and Hashem, no response. Hester panim. No answer. So I kaveh again. I kaveh again. No? I kaveh again. I put my hope in HaKadosh Baruch Hu again. What's the matter of kaveh? Just realizing now, kaveh. 111. That's Aleph, right? Aleph is 111. That's the Aleph Seser, Esther, Aleph. I find the Aleph. I know it's there. Hashem, I know you're here. I know the Aleph is here. I know you're hiding, but I know you're here. I know you're here, and I'm going to find it. The same way Mordechai and Esther, that Mordechai was walking back and forth outside of Esther's, behind the gate. He's saying, what's with Shalom Esther? What's with the Esther? What's going to be with Esther? What's going to be with her? What's happening? Mayaseba, what's going on with her? That's what we have to be able to do. We have to be kaveh Hashem, to hope in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to keep asking, what's going on with Esther? So when we tell the story of the Purim story, we're megale sachelek alokam imal atamen bikirbeinu. We're trying to find, again, our chelek within that story. Okay? He concludes the piece by explaining a little bit about each of the mitzvahs. I want to end with one final paragraph for today. Go to the top of Kuf Nun Zayin. And tomorrow we'll start a new piece. Top of Kuf Nun Zayin, top paragraph. When a Jew drinks on Purim and he becomes mububal, he removes his das, which again is one of the classic v'nahafachus of Purim. Purim has so much to do with das and gaining das and restoring das, and then we come to Purim, we throw away our das. That's where we build our das. Purim and Moshe Rabbeinu, which is das, there's so much das, and then we throw the whole thing away to rely on Hashem alone. So when a Jew drinks on Purim, it's an opportunity to show how amazing the Jews are. Why? Drunkenness. Gemara Pesachim says Hashem hates people who are drunk. How is this an opportunity to show the greatness of the Jewish people? Shalok umas ha'olam shebe'ez shechrusam harayim oisim kishlonos v'chataim. Unlike the nations of the world where drinking is always a pretext to averos, where drinking is an excuse for immoral behavior. As opposed to us, the Jewish people, when we eat and drink and celebrate and throw out our das, there's nothing sweeter than a Jew, you know, crying out to Hashem, davening in a way he could never daven on a regular day, calling out to Hashem. And yeah, maybe he says a couple of silly things from that drunken state, but he's also, his cries to Hashem are deep and real. He's able to dance before Hashem like never before. And he's crying. The wine is allowing the secret of him to come out. He's not being fake on Purim. He's being more real than ever on Purim. And then he's able to defeat Amalek and the Sitra Achra, Mamish at its core. Okay, you've been very patient with me. Yes, let's hear.
Okay, so first of all, Rabbi said that, Rabbi actually didn't say, Rabbi said he wouldn't say, but that's something I said before, Rabbi, that the Megillah might be greater than the Torah.
Yeah, Chassam Sofer.
Right, Chassam Sofer. And so, at the end of the Briya, after every day, Hashem said it was Tov. Which is, you know, is
Rami's
to Torah,
whenever
it's a Torah.
Right,
Ain
Tov
El
Torah.
Torah in Mispar Katan is Gematria Tov.
Right? Torah in Mispar Katan is Gematria Tov. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Tov Ma'od is referring to the Yetzer Hara, and is referring to like pure like separateness and things being like particular and not connected. And so the reason that that's Tov Ma'od, this farm talks about it being is like an extra atara, like an extra crown on top of Tov, because when you're able to be miyachid things and so that Hashem is really in places where it looks like he isn't, which is what Megillas Esther is, that is Tov Ma'od. That's an even greater level of Tov, which would be why the Tov Ma'od of the Megillah would be
greater than the Torah itself. I was going to say, Megillah is Tov, is the Madrega of Tov Ma'od. Megillah is the Madrega of Tov Ma'od. Okay.
And secondly, we were talking about